Hi everybody, how are you? Yeah, you're looking forward to listening to the Holy Spirit. I invite the Holy Spirit to just come and talk to you. So I say, don't really listen to me. I mean, okay, fine, you can listen to me, but I won't be as informative as the Holy Spirit. Yeah, so just listen out for the Holy Spirit, what he's saying. If you come away from this sermon discouraged, then you're not listening to the Holy Spirit, yeah? If you come away from this thing, oh, it wasn't for me, you're not listening to the Holy Spirit, yeah? So I just want to pray, Father God, just give us ears to hear your lovely voice, because you love us, Lord. So we're back to the Great Commission, and I'm teaching this morning on Jesus' command to go make disciples, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And you might think, obedience, obey, I don't like that term, Be careful. Holy Spirit's saying, you're going to love this. You really will love it, yeah? So the things that I'm putting forward for consideration for you to listen to the Holy Spirit about is obedience is at the heart of being a disciple. Teaching is at the heart of making disciples. Therefore, in order to effectively make disciples, we need to know the word and be able to instruct others. Yeah? So it's at the heart of being a disciple. Teaching is at the heart of a disciple. And making disciples means that we need to know how to instruct others. So it's about discipleship. Yeah? The whole sermon this morning is about discipleship. I've got a central argument that I want to present to you that I believe I prayed about this morning. I'm hoping it's from the Holy Spirit, that it will go deep into your heart. And really something for you to think about in the coming weeks, months, years. My central argument is this. Jesus does not limit what I can learn, practice, and then pass on through discipleship. Jesus does not limit what I can learn, practice, and then pass on through discipleship. And then the question is, so why do we? Yeah, so why do we limit what Jesus is saying? We're going to have a ball with this. We're going to enjoy it. So in terms of an introduction, just by a couple of intros that I want to give as I come to this series for the first time, it's all about, the Great Commission is all about gospel power. It's about outrageous love. I had a picture in the worship of us all being like a hose, a fireman's hose on a fire, and it's love pouring out. Absolute strong gospel, outrageous love pouring out on a fire in somebody's life. Yeah, so it's love, but they have to connect it to the water main, and they have to unscrew this bit here, and they have to aim it and fire it. So it's about a connected love, a communal love, a communion love that's pouring out. The gospel pours out, and what is the hose that God uses? He uses the Great Commission. So for us, the Great Commission is the mechanism by which the power of the gospel overflows into a continual cycle of discipleship. So the Great Commission is discipleship. It's a process, it's a mechanism, it's a hose that actually continually, when you go to glory, someone else stands at that hose. When they go to glory, someone else goes to that hose that you've introduced, that you've taught how to use that hose. Are you with me with that? You happy with that? Yeah? Not discouraged yet? No, good. So, and we're saying that the Great Commission is all about discipleship. Our vision is all about discipleship. It's to share our hope. It's to follow Jesus and grow together. And we're saying without us realigning ourselves to the Great Commission as a church, that's just going to be, it's going to be something for the website. You know, we're a people of this, and it's like we don't do it. But no, I think Jeff has constantly brought us back and back and back. No, we've neglected discipleship. We don't know how to share our hope, so we need to major in on that. Yeah, and it's been amazing what's happened. You know, it's been amazing. We want to celebrate that later. I'll explain what I mean. So why do we emphasize evangelism? So if you read the notes, Great Commission, you might think, well, Mike, you emphasized a lot sharing our hope, and it can be a bit scary. All we're just saying is that we recognize that we have neglected that in the past, and we just want to continually re-emphasize it, that we can do this. You can't do it in your flesh, and it's scary, but you can do this. But that's not what all the Great Commission is about. The Great Commission is about us realizing that we can actually live out all the commands of Jesus as long as we learn, as long as we put it into practice, and we also teach others and pass it on. That's a simple message. So that's my introduction. In terms of my first point, obedience is at the heart of being a disciple. We have a large passage to read here, which is really important. So if you want to read your Bibles, it's John 14:15. And this is what Jesus says. So listen to what Jesus says through this scripture. Yeah, if you love me, if I could put all your names in, I'd go around the room and say that. If you love me, Brian, or Ben, or Lucy, if you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you, put your name in that, but you, whatever your name is, so, but you, Mike, you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So we're talking about obedience. And in the flesh, I've looked at that passage before and said, "I'm unworthy. I don't obey your commands, all your commands. I'm terrible. What a stinker I am." It's just a lie, because the gospel power says, "I'm transformed. I'm a new creation. I'm new. I'm brand new. I've got Christ." In this passage says, "I've got the Spirit of Christ dwelling in me." It even says, as I go in my deepen my discipleship, the Father and Jesus will come and make their home in me. I'll get so used to dwelling in the kingdom, it'll almost be like heaven on earth in me, not out there. I've spent many years praying for revival, and I said, "Holy Spirit, out there somewhere, come in and change everything." When actually saying, "Well, I'm actually here. What's changed you?" Do you see what I mean? So it's revival starts with us. It's that hose of love pouring out. If we look at obedience, then what I'm saying is that obedience means, in the dictionary, you are always submitting to someone else's authority. And that has nasty connotations to the old self. You don't want to submit to anybody's authority, does it? All tough, it's dead, it's crucified, and we have a new nature, a new self. We are like Jesus. We commune with Jesus. So yeah, the old flesh might have a moan up about this, but it's done and dusted. The gospel has dealt with that. That's done on the cross. We're no longer a slave to that. But when we look at Jesus' authority, are we saying then that Jesus is going to give me a hard time over this? That Jesus is going to say, "I want you to obey my commands. Don't tell me you love me. Don't sing me songs. Show me the fruit." No, he's not. He's basically saying, "My yoke is light. This is us having fun. This is us pouring love out. This is us just releasing the gospel in your life out." And we've heard that throughout this year in terms of our new church. If you go back and listen to the sermons, and I have the great delight of annotating the sermons, I love what Jesus is saying through it consistently to the church. You're amazing. This is prophetic. You might be sharing your hope now. You might think, "Oh, I can't do that." But we are going to share our hope. We're going to have to learn through discipleship. If we look at what Jesus is saying in the scripture, "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me." Now, what I want to emphasize here is in your spirit, yeah, obedience is a natural outcome of love overflowing from our gospel experience. He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Doesn't sound like I have to do it on my own, does it? Sounds like I've got someone that's going to help me and guide me. But you know him, for he lives with you. So it's not like, oh, you know, the Holy Spirit's so miles away, I'm going to have to go into rapture to actually connect with him. It's like, no, even on a bad day when I'm all pressed and I'm maxed out, the Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is within me. He's dwelling with me, and I can connect to the Holy Spirit instantly if I learn as a disciple how to do that. You might, if you're sitting there thinking, I don't know how to do that, well, good. It's a good place to be. Discipleship's going to equip you and teach you. Someone's going to come alongside who does know how to do that, show you, you live it out, and then you pass it on. Yeah. So if you're saying naturally, I can't do this, that's fine, but don't limit. That's all I'm saying. Don't limit yourself, because Jesus doesn't. But you know him, for he lives with you, thank God. You will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I'm in you. I don't understand that. God, does my head in that, but what I'd say yes to is, wow, the gospel has made me a receptacle, a temple. I don't know how to work it all out. Well, I say amen, yes, even on my bad, stressy days. I'm going to say, well, hang on a minute. Isn't there another place within me where God wants to delight in me? I'm going to go to that place. You have to work it out. If you say, I don't know how to do that, amen. Go to the Lord and say, through discipleship, I want to learn that. And somebody who knows how to do it will teach you, and then you'll pass it on. So we're saying as a church, we don't want to be impotent. We don't want to be empty. We're saying we haven't got it all right, but we don't want to limit. We're up for new experiences of the gospel flowing out of us in obedience to what Jesus has commanded. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Oh, that's hard, isn't it? I dwell a long time on this and get really down about this. Oh, dear me. Well, that's the flesh. It's crucified. Who here does not love Jesus? You all love Jesus. I've seen you all. You love Jesus. You all love Jesus. So you're not in that category of disobedience. You're in the category of, you need to be obedient to all my commands. Don't limit yourself. But notice he said that to disciples that have had 3 years of 24/7. So yeah, they can do all because they've lived with him for 3-4 years. They've seen the way he's discipled them. So you may not have had 3 years of discipleship. Some of you may only have had 6 months so far. So it's just saying, fine, in this journey of discipling, just be open to obedience, to learning how to put into practice what the Lord has taught you through the Holy Spirit. Are you okay with that? Anybody feeling discouraged? Anybody feeling really disobedient? Yeah? That's your flesh. Say no. Yeah, you are obedient. Say yes. So what does Jesus mean when he talks of obedience? He basically means what the Greek word means, which is that in the Bible, to hear, it means to hear, and thus signifies coming under the hearing. One hears and one does. That is obedience in the Bible. Yeah, so obedience is hearing and then responding. And disobedience is hearing and disregarding what is heard. So what we're saying is, hear what you've learned, being reminded of what you've learned and what you're capable of, hearing that, and then actually moving in that. Yeah? So it's not necessarily, I can't evangelize, I've suddenly got to do it. No, we're saying, now go and learn some tips about how you personally can evangelize. And it'd be different to an evangelist, not calling you to be an evangelist or a teacher. We're just saying, learn as a disciple. Listen to how you can be more free and joyful in that, and then be reminded as you go about to actually act on it. Yeah. So an illustration of that is that I once saw a video of a shepherd that had all these tourists, and there were 100 sheep up on the side of the hill. And he said, if you use the word, I don't know what it was, come to me in Greek, they will come to you, all the sheep. So all the tourists used the word, come to me. They carried on eating. Each of them, about 12 of them, come to me, carry on eating. The shepherd said, come to me, and they, I kid you not, they all poured down the hill, rushed to him because they thought it was feeding time. Yeah? Because they knew the shepherd's voice. So we're just saying, just listen. You are sheep and you follow. You do know, but we've got to listen. in the hubbub, in the maxing out, we've got to listen. So when we hear that we must consider obedience, our reaction can be based upon whom we're listening to. If we listen to the tourist voices in our head, which are the flesh and the world and all the rest of it, nothing's going to move. You will not move. But in your spirit, when it hears the shepherd's voice, it responds like those sheep. You are a responsive sheep. Yeah, you are not a disobedient goat. You are a responsive sheep. The only thing we need to do is to try and hear. Our reaction can be based upon what we're hearing. The tourists and the distractions will tell you you're a failure, you can't do this. Jesus is saying, right this morning, you can do whatever I ask to teach you, whatever I equip you with, you can do. Don't worry about it. Your issue is no one's discipling you, no one's teaching you, no one's passing it on. But even when we do obey, we've got to obey out of communion with the Holy Spirit. You can't obey in the flesh. Jesus makes it quite clear, if you do anything without me, without communion, without abiding in the flesh, it'll achieve nothing. See, it isn't willpower. I've got to beat myself up. I've got to kick myself up the backside. It isn't. It's just a surrender to being discipled, to pass on what I've learned. But I've got to put into practice what I learned. So who are you listening to when you heard about sharing your hope? When you hear about baptism, when you hear about go and make disciples, when you hear about obeying, what are you listening to? Is it your flesh, the world, or is it your spirit? You've got good spiritual ears. Just tune it in, yeah? So I've got a story about listening. Tony told me a story the other day where he was in a church coffee shop. Two girls came up to him and he thought, oh, I know these two, they're tinkers, they do like to have a little laugh with you. And then he felt another voice say, tell them about the church. So he went over to them and said, oh, how are you? You know, this is a church coffee shop. They said, what do you do here? He said, oh, you know, we serve people. And that's upstairs. Then he heard a voice, tell them about upstairs. So he said, upstairs is our main church, it's a big hall, yeah? And then a voice said, you know, go and show them the hall. And he said, well, these two are taking the mic. What are you talking about? So he said, come on, I'll show you the hall. Showed them the hall. And then he heard a voice say, tell them what you do in that room over there. And he thought, these two are just taking Mickey, they're time wasters. He said, you know what we do in that hall over there, that room over there? He said, what? He said, we pray about Jesus. And they went, that's amazing. And he heard a voice, tell them about what you do in this hall. And he thought, what? And then he said, in here we sing. And then he heard a voice say, sing. And he said, you're joking, what are you talking about? So he started singing, yeah? And these two girls said, that's lovely. And then he heard a voice say, ask them if they're Christians. He said, oh, are you Christians? No. Another voice asked him, do they want to give their life to Jesus? Yeah? Do you want to give your life to Jesus? And his flesh is saying, no, I don't want to do that. I can't do that. Yeah? And they said, yes. And he led him to the Lord. Does that sound arduous and hard? No. But what was needed is not willpower. I'm going to jump on these two girls and I'm going to declare the gospel and I'm in a terrible situation. Just relax. I'm listening to you, Lord. Now, if we're not taught how to listen and we're not taught how to do that, then it's going to be alien and put us off. Through discipleship as a church, we're going to create opportunities for you to learn, to listen, and to explore joyfully sharing our hope. We're convinced it's going to be easy and joyful. If it isn't, you need more teaching, more support, yeah, and more discipleship. So teaching is at the heart of making disciples. So what we're trying to say there is that Tony will accept that when he first became a Christian, somebody taught him evangelism. As soon as he's a Christian, they took him out and they taught him. And he just does it now because somebody taught him. Maybe somebody hasn't taught you evangelism. Yeah, that's fine. We as a church want to teach you. We want to disciple. We want to bring it into our discipleship. So the idea is that we learn and pass it on, learn and pass it on, learn and pass it on, not as head knowledge, but as actual practice, something we put into practice. I love what the idea that we're like Bear Grylls as disciples, yeah? We're like Bear Grylls in that it's not when Bear Grylls teaches, he's got his hands gutting a chicken or whatever it is, he's out in the wild and he's actually teaching in practice. You can't imagine Bear Grylls teaching survival in a classroom and then saying, off you go, hope you get on well gutting your chicken or whatever, or surviving. No, he's field craft, he's out there in the field teaching them. And that's the sort of discipleship, that's the sort of teaching that we want. But it's still coming through the Word. It's still coming through the Spirit. We're not saying go off and invent stuff. We're saying, no, take the Word and learn to practice it, like Bear Grylls would practice his field craft. You with me on that? I might click something, I'll turn that off. That's okay. So we're saying teaching is at the heart of making disciples, but how did Jesus teach? Yeah, he taught like Bear Grylls. Yeah, he might have stood them all up and they're all cut, it's all pouring rain, but on the outside they're pouring rain and he's saying, right, this is what we're going to do today. He'll teach them and they're saying, let's go and do it. That's the learning we want. That's the teaching. Yes, we need preaching. Yes, we need we need to preach the doctrines. I'm not saying that. But as disciples, we need to learn how to teach like Bear Grylls. You might not be called to be evangelist. We're not calling you to be an evangelist or a teacher. I don't think I'm a teacher in that sense, capital T. I think I'm a discipler who's been disciples that's trying to exhort the church how to disciple. I'm trying to learn to teach. I don't get it right all the time, but Jeff is great at discipling me because he says, might this, might that. Yeah, in my flesh, I moan and groan. Oh, what's he going on about now? But I have to put that off and say, yeah, okay, I'll take that on board. I will be discipled, and he's teaching me how to teach. Someone in the church is going to teach you how to obey all the commands of Jesus, but you won't do it until you're discipled and taught. You with me on that? My youngest daughter didn't know how to change the oil in her car. She didn't come to her dad. She came to her mum, who's got her own toolkit. Yeah, she won't let me near it because she knows I'll never put it back. She's got her own toolkit. She does, you know, she doesn't limit herself with doing DIY and things like that or doing car maintenance. She doesn't limit herself. But she's been taught how to change the oil. So she showed Alice how to change the oil. And it was dirty and grubby and she could have stuck the oil in the wrong hole. But if we just said to her, open the bonnet, find a hole and pour oil in it, that would have been a bit theoretical, wouldn't it? No, it's not that one or that one. It's this one, and you do this and whatever. So we're saying that we want discipleship. The teaching Jesus is talking about is about us as disciples discipling others. You with that? My last point is, therefore, in order to effectively make disciples, we need to know the Word and be able to instruct others. Yeah? We need to know this Word. I'm not talking about you going off and doing a Bear Grylls or inventing something. We're talking about take the Word as a discipler, not as a consumer, not as somebody observes, not as a dutiful religious person. We're saying, no, take the Word and put it into practice. But you're going to need to know the Word and you're going to need to commune with the Holy Spirit to do this. You cannot do it in your flesh. You cannot do it in yourself. Jesus does not limit what I can learn. That's what I want you to think about. Jesus does not limit what I can learn, practice, and then pass on through discipleship. I am not going to limit what Jesus, in the coming years it will take, to live out the Great Commission in this church. Yeah, we're not talking about, well, do this and then you're done. We're saying, this is prophetic. This is a promise. This is the sort of church that we want to build. This is the church who we are, that we, through discipleship, will teach each other through the Holy Spirit and the Word how to overflow in gospel love. Yeah, because the commands of Jesus, you can bottle it all up into two things. Love God, love others. There are loads of commands, but it's about love. It's pouring out gospel love in the world. So in conclusion, I want to say, you are doing this very, very well. You are very obedient. Yeah, I think if I want you to hear this from the Holy Spirit, because he changed this morning as I prayed, look at the discipleship, sign up. I don't know if you've ever seen that that makeup program. My girls love to watch the makeup program. There's a woman on there, and if you do makeup really well, she says, ding dong. Yeah, if you get a good one, she says, ding dong. Well, double ding dong. Look what you did with discipleship. It's a new thing, a new commitment. We said small groups 1 week. We're going to introduce this whole new thing of discipleship. Did you say, oh, I'm doing that? Well, you might have in the flesh. But in the spirit, what did you do? We were amazed at the sign up. Totally amazed. You say, yes, I want to disciple. And we recognize that a lot of you have not been discipled. You know, that's a shame, isn't it? That is a shame. But that's fine. That's the past. We're not going to be limited by that. We know the dynamic of discipleship. But in discipling, we're saying, well done. Well done. But there's so much, but don't limit what you're going to be doing in your groups. Don't limit. Listen to Jesus. Listen to the Holy Spirit and put into practice. Don't let it just be social. Socials are fine. Don't let it be just a chat shop. That's all right. But in the long flow of your discipleship groups, we want you to make space for the word, listen to the Holy Spirit, and put off any hindrance that stops you putting into practice what the Holy Spirit and the word is revealing to you as a discipleship group. We want your discipleship groups to be willing to pass on what you learned. We don't want in 3-4 years' time for people to say, I've never been discipled. We want to say there's loads of disciples in here. Loads of them. Because they've got these people have 3 years experience. You might need 3 years experience before you can pass it on. I don't know. But at least we're creating the space. And at least you're engaging. And the enemy hates that. And he will use your flesh to say, this is all, I'm not doing it. Just say, no, that's not me. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm a new creature, yeah? I can do this. We want you in the discipleship groups to challenge any I can't do mentality. Yep, you can't do nothing in the flesh. Jesus says that, yeah. I can't do this, yeah. Yep, that's right. But in the Spirit, in the Word and the Spirit, you can do whatever he asks you to do. And he's not going to ask you to do everything at once. He's not going to ask you to do something you haven't been discipled and mentored in. We want you in your discipleship groups to know that you are doing well. That this is just the beginning of us as a church working out the Great Commission. But ultimately, I'll end on this. We want you in your discipleship groups to accept Jesus' peace and pass it on. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives, which is, I can't, you can't do that, you're rubbish, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that. He gives you a peace. He says, let your hearts not be troubled and do not be afraid. Yeah? As a disciple, you don't need to be afraid. Yeah, you could be ignorant, that's fine, but he will increase through teaching and through learning. Just like Jeanette teaching Alice, he will teach you how to, you know, change the oil constantly in your spiritual life. And that's what we need to do. So I'll finish there by saying, Jesus does not limit what I can learn, practice, and then pass on through discipleship. And you are, ding dong, God's wonderful disciples. I'll hand you over to Jeff. Yeah.
Thanks so much, Mike. Oh my goodness, this is high. You're going to obscure me. Hang on. Brilliant. Thanks so much, Mike. It was really encouraging. What we're trying to do in this series is kind of envision our hearts and minds in terms of being, I guess, internally convinced of Jesus' call over the church to go and make disciples. But also what we want to do is to equip our hands, because we said at the start of this series, none of us are experts in this. You know, we're all on a journey with kind of taking steps out of the boat and growing in kind of sharing our hope with other people and making disciples. And so as part of what we're doing in this series is each week we want to kind of share some practical applications. So at the start of the series, I don't know if you've still got them, we gave you one of these Great Commission bookmarks. So far we started off by kind of praying for God's heart for the lost, and then Janine shared about doing something publicly, so being visible, whether kind of reading your Bible or having worship music on in the car or something. And then Tony and Sylvia shared about just slowing down and saying hello and taking an interest in people in your daily life, being available to others. And then Justine shared a couple of weeks ago about being hospitable, opening up your home to people and the impact that can have on them. And so the thing that we want to focus on, kind of practically equip you with this week, is how to kind of share an encouraging truth from your own walk with Jesus with somebody who's not a Christian. And so we're going to chat to Hannah about that. So let's welcome Hannah as she comes up. Thanks so much, Hannah, for sharing with us. So, Hannah, sharing an encouragement with somebody. Can you give us an example of kind of when you've done this in your own life?
Can you hear me off of that? Does it mean? Yeah. We should have swapped.
We should have, yeah.
This year, actually, through kind of having loads of curveballs thrown at us as a family, has been a time really to share it. We've had Tom reapply for his job. We've had Dan refuse a school space. Then about 3 days later, over a weekend, given a school space, and Reece, bless him, with some digestion problems. And just being able to say, to share that with friends who are not Christians has been nerve-wracking, but really great, because I have one particular friend who's a single mum who's come out from an abusive marriage this year. And when you say to her, oh, my church family have been praying with me for X, Y, Z, she's like, really? Really? I'm alone, I'm doing this. And when you can talk to them about they've been praying, and not only say that, but give the answers to prayer that we've had, like Daniel's school turned from no to yes in a handful of days. She's been blown away, and we continue to talk, and it's really powerful. But I wouldn't have done that before this year. I really wouldn't have done. I'm learning so much, because I'm used to being quite an independent, outgoing person, but then suddenly I'll go like that, and God's saying, depend on me more, share your hope more, because you've got all that hope, but you can stand out, you can do it more. So, yeah.
Amazing. So it's kind of sharing out the overflow, really, of your kind of experience of God.
Yeah.
And when you kind of get that stirring, like, what kind of comes into your mind, or what barriers you need to kind of overcome in order to do that?
Me, quite frankly. I always think I sound daft saying things, and I know that the enemy puts things into my head, which it's like the little voice in your shoulder saying all the worst things about yourself. Oh, don't say this, don't say that. But it's kind of just pushing past that and knowing the kind of deep inner amazingness, and knowing, for example, this particular friend, I haven't seen fruit yet, but popping seeds in her life to affect her, to affect her girls and those around her as well. I might not see that, but I'm putting seeds there, and that's all I'm good at, sitting there chatting and what have you. But that could be amazingness in the future.
And what are people generally receptive when you are sharing out of your own experience?
Yeah, basically, because I had one lady say to me, it's one lady that I work with quite a lot, she said, "Han, you do know that I love working with you, because you're just bubbly, you're just happy, you're just, I don't know what you're just." And we'd shared a lot of the things as well, and people want to listen. It's us that's stopping ourselves, it's not them. I've not had people say to me, "Oh, shut up, you're talking rubbish, what have you," which is what my head tells me they're gonna say. But I've just stepped out. It's scared the living daylights out of me. But in God's strength, I have been able to, because it's not me. It's totally not me. And the caffeine just helps me talk, but it's not the caffeine.
Amazing. And one final thing. I mean, we might be sitting here thinking, oh, that sounds like something I could do. You know, I could share out of my experience. But how do you know kind of what to share? How do you get a sense of what to and when to share something with someone?
Sometimes it's that small voice, which is something we've talked about a lot in our discipleship group. But sometimes it sometimes just feels like my mouth starts talking before I don't even know what's happening. And it's like, okay, then, so I'm saying that right now, am I? So it's really just inviting the Spirit to give me the strength, because quite frankly, this year without that, none of this would have happened. So, yeah.
Hannah, thank you so much. That's so encouraging. Let's thank Hannah. Amazing. Mike's going to come up in just a second and just kind of lead us through a prayer response. But what strikes me when I hear that is I'm reminded of, I think it's in Acts chapter 4, where Peter and John are basically being told to stop preaching the gospel. And their response is, "We cannot help but speak about what we have seen and heard." And it says that they recognize them as men who had been with Jesus. And I think that's really what Hannah's getting at, isn't it? It's like, actually, this is just the overflow. I remember Steve Dunn from Herne Bay came and spoke to us, didn't he, last term about sharing our hope. And he said, when it comes to being a witness, it's not about being an evangelist, so to speak. Actually, it's just about being a Christian. It's just about, if you've got an intimate walk with Jesus and you're enjoying the grace and the gospel of God, it's going to come out. It's just going to come out, because that's what happens in everyday life, isn't it? When we're excited about something, we're excited about a restaurant or a film that we've seen or a TV show or some good news, it just bubbles up out of us and we can't help but share it. And my prayer for us is that we be a people who walk so closely with the Lord, enjoy the gospel and his grace so much that actually we cannot help but speak about what we've seen in her. Just like Hannah was saying, we're in that moment and we're not even necessarily conscious going, I'm going to share it with this. It just kind of comes out as the natural overflow of our experience. So I'm just going to welcome Mike back up, and he's just going to lead us in a kind of prayer response before we finish.
Okay, I'd like you just to prayerfully just listen to the Holy Spirit's reassurance, really. And go back through that scripture. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. Do you love Jesus enough to obey him? What are you hearing right now? Hearing a no? Are you hearing doubts? Just want the Holy Spirit to say this to you right now. Yes, you do. Who told you did not? You do. You obey because you love. He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Are you spirit-filled? What's the voice saying? Sometimes, no. Yes, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. When you came to Christ, he filled you and put a seal on you. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Do you commune with Jesus? Yes. You will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I'm in you. Are you full of love as a product of the gospel? Yes. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Are you disobedient? Clearly not. Clearly not. So, Holy Father, I just ask you right now, just come and convince us that if we just listen, it's what we've heard this morning, if we just listen, follow the promptings of you and us, if we listen out for you, well, it might be frightening, it might be scary, but it'll be so much joy and so fruitful and so wonderful. So, Lord, we as a church, we don't want to limit you. We are convinced as a church that you do not limit what we as a church can learn, practice, and then pass on through discipleship. So praise be your name. Amen.